And that's a great segue into what I'm going to mention today. And if you thought of something to talk about, just hold it up. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to give a thumbnail sketch to our spiritual heritage. I'm going to talk about facts, not what we think about certain people that were founding fathers, but I'm going to state some facts here about our nation so that it makes it clear that we've been blessed and that we've had a nation that's had a heart for God. We were founded in 1620 when we first had people land here, and I know people have founded before that, but it, generally speaking, the Pilgrims, Puritans, Quakers, when I grew up in Pennsylvania, you know, you learned all this rich history of the Quakers given land by, you know, Pennsylvania, and William Penn given the charter for that state, and it's a rich history of Quakers. They were pious people, Puritans, Pilgrims. I've read stories that talk about it, you know, authors that go back to original letters written back in the 1600s, and their heart was to preach the good news. And they did have good relations with Indians, but not, it wasn't necessarily all the time, right? So we did have our struggles. I'm not saying we're blameless, not at all. I'm saying that some of these original founding peoples, you know, just for example, Pilgrims, Puritans, Quakers, they were seeking the heart of God. In the 1730s, 1740s, we see the Great Awakening. These are things that are highly documented. We can read about Jonathan Edwards. We can read about George Whitefield, who came over from Britain, and he went from church to church. He didn't care what denomination churches were. He brought revival. He spoke to all the believers in the colonies about the greatness of God, and he was a man anointed. You want to read a good story, you read about George Whitefield. Jonathan Edwards, they worked together in ministry to preach God's grace in the 1730s and 40s. David Brainerd was one that brought Christ, the salvation message, to the Indians. And he was a spark. He was a catalyst. He met, you know, with Jonathan Edwards personally. So there's the three great men that God used to spark revival nearing the, you know, the mid of the 1700s there. And then, you know, well, let's take us a little step further. We have the Declaration of Independence. Our rights are given by God. We acknowledge our Creator. And there is no freedom without God. I mean, we know we have a special nation. We've seen communist nations that take God out of the equation, that remove God completely. You have a total lack of creativity. You have a total lack of knowledge of God. People aimlessly trying to function without their Creator. Joseph Stalin killed 60 million people. I don't know how many. It's crazy. And you see the vacuums in certain nations where God is no longer a part of the equation. Bad things happen. So for our country to sustain for as long as we had, and I know we have judgment. Civil War was a time of judgment, I'm convinced. And before the Civil War, we had, let's back up. And in 1789, this is a key moment that I don't think anyone, not many people know about these days, and I'll just say it here, it'll be brief. In 1789, George Washington, along with Congress, attended a service at St. Paul's Chapel in New York City. Imagine the president and Congress attended St. Paul's Chapel in New York City after his swearing in. The ceremony was presided over by Bishop Samuel Prevost. And the prayer, George Washington's prayer, was, Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. And without a humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the President of the United States. He's saying that, and did you catch the warning? The warning at the end of that prayer. And without a humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Imagine, this is how our nation started. In prayer. 1789. And then if you know anything about the Revolutionary War, if you've learned about the minutia, the details in that war, there were miraculous events. I mean, let's face it. We fought the greatest empire in the world. I don't care if they were across the pond. They've been fighting against India. They were having wars and winning wherever they went. We had no business beating them, us ragtag bunch of colonists. Well, when we understand Scripture, we know that God appoints nations. God sets nations up. He creates nations and sets their boundary. That is all throughout the Bible. So for anyone to argue that our nation just came by accident, we just happened to be a nation that just happened to prosper 200 years without giving God credit and understanding that it's His providence, they're crazy. And you know what? They don't know their history. And that's part of the problem. They don't know their history. So we saw great revivals in the 1820s and 30s. Charles Finney led revivals. I'm reading his memoirs right now. Great movements of spirituality. People that didn't even want to have anything to do about God came awake in those days. And that was upstate New York, and he went on to preach in Jersey, Pennsylvania, that area. So we had a great revival there, and then and that's just all I wanted to do was give a thumbnail sketch. This is an history lesson, other than to say we have a rich history of serving God, and we are without excuse because we've been given the Word of God in many ways, and now, like crazy, we have the Word of God in every way possible, and we're not even reading it. So we are one nation under God, of course. We have on our money in God we trust. And I know there are certain people out there that want to strip all that off our money and from our Pledge of Allegiance. We have a rich history of biblically literate culture. Our children used to be taught how to read using the Bible. Did you know that the New England Primer back in the late 1700s, if you find the New England Primer, you can find it, a copy of it on the Internet, children learned how to read by using the Bible. Imagine that. Imagine that. That was the general population of people learning to read through the Bible.